Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Revolutionary Life, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, I want to thank everybody, as I usually do. I want to thank everybody for calling in, or listening in, I'm sorry. And as we begin our night, this is Friday, and Friday is our wrap-up night. So this is the night we just do a brief review of what presentations we've done through the week, and only two major presentations this week that we did was on revolution, of course, and on the death of Robert F. Kennedy. It was the anniversary of the death. It was the anniversary, excuse me, it was the anniversary of the assassination of Robert F. Kennedy in this country. So if you missed any of those presentations tonight, we will do a quick review of them both and our main points there. The things we'd like you to take away, if possible. And so, again, thank you for listening in. This is Revolutionary Life. This is where we view every aspect of our lives through a revolutionary lens. And during the week, we reviewed two subjects that I think of importance to remember and to understand. And those were revolution and the death of Bobby Kennedy. Now, Bobby Kennedy was the brother of ex-president John F. Kennedy was also assassinated. His brother, who ran for office, was also assassinated. Tonight, I'm going to talk about the assassination of the brother of ex-president John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Now, rather than going why, well, in fact, going into why these people were assassinated, I spoke on that in those classes, in those presentations. So you can certainly go back, guys. I want everyone to remember that, because sometimes I might not be live. And if I'm not, I have been doing this since 2011. And so you can always go back to some of my previous presentations, right? You can listen. All you have to do is log on to my site, to my station, and all of my archives are there. All of my presentations are on demand. All right? So even if I don't show up live for whatever reason, things happen. And you'll always be able to log into my site and listen to me in my episodes. And also, and so, just tonight, I will start our presentation off tonight with one of the presentations that we did this week, and this one was on the death of Bobby Kennedy. Now, in that presentation, I actually took some time out to go into the assassination of his brother, his older brother, President John F. Kennedy. All right, but the main thing I want to do tonight, and the main point I had in doing that presentation, was to point out that Bobby Kennedy, in addition to running for president himself now, at the time, had also joined together with several other social, political, and labor leaders to support a second poor people's campaign led by the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The second poor people campaign had made a pledge. That pledge was, we're going to Washington in the thousands, and we're going to stay there until our needs are met, until our demands are met and our needs addressed. The second poor people had that pledge. Unlike the first poor people's campaign, this time the tent city wasn't going anywhere in the second poor people's campaign led by Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The strength of this second campaign included political power coming from Bobby Kennedy, who signed on to support that campaign in any way he could. Like I said, he was running for president. And he was backing that campaign with his political might and his political allies. So Martin Luther King had literally marshaled for the second poor people's campaign political power behind him and resources. He even went to the labor movement, to the unions, one of the biggest and the baddest, the United Auto Workers Union, car builders, the people who made your cars. United Auto Workers Union was then headed by President Walter Reuther. Walter Reuther also pledged his support and backing of the second Poor People's Campaign led by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The campaign that said, we're going to Washington and we're going to stay there until our demands are met, and we're going in the thousands. Not only did he have political support, now with the United Auto Workers, a very powerful union, now he had the union support, labor, behind him. to help make this a successful march on Washington. He had the anti-war movement, young people who were in the anti-war movement, supporting this march on Washington and joining that march. He went to Hispanic farm workers under the banner of the United Farm Workers Association, or the United Farm Workers Union. The United Farm Workers at the time was led by Cesar Chavez. Cesar Chavez. And it was a very strong union at the time, very popular even for its nationwide grape boycott. They brought the grape industry to the table. And so they picked fruit and grapes and stuff in California, where most of the fruits and vegetables for most of this country comes from, at least west of the Mississippi. And so the Hispanic farm workers decided they would also join the Poor People's Campaign in that march on Washington. This movement had grown tremendously and had support from some of the more powerful arenas and corners of this society. Political, with Bobby Kennedy, labor, with Walter Reuther, the United Auto Workers anti-war movement. Everybody was going on this march. And we remember, the march said it was going to stay. The second Poor People Campaign did not happen. In April of 1968, before the Poor People's Campaign could launch, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated, killed in Memphis, Tennessee. April of 1968. May, the following month, in 1968, Bobby Kennedy, who had thrown his support behind the Poor People's Campaign, was assassinated, killed. May, 1968. Cesar Chavez of the United Farm Workers went into a monastery or something. But Walter Reuther of the United Auto Workers, who had thrown his support behind the Second Poor People's Campaign, he also met his death. The altimeter of his airplane, the meter in your airplane that tells you your altitude, how close you are to the ground, his altimeter had been messed with. And his plane, with him and his family, crashed. Walter Reuther, president of United Auto Workers, who had pledged his support in 1968 to that Poor People's Campaign. Now, you got to listen to my presentation, but then I told you that with Walter Reuther, the first attempt at his life was exactly the same. Somebody fiddled with the altimeter. Except he survived that crash. The second time they did it, he did not. So there was no second Poor People's Campaign that was going to march to Washington and stay there until our demands were met, with the support of labor, with political support, and backing by all the other movements going on at the time. That's the only takeaway, guys. That's a real takeaway that I wanted you to be aware of in the assassination of Bobby Kennedy. Yes, he was running for president. They killed his brother, who was president. So maybe whoever killed his brother, maybe didn't want him being president and made sure he was dead. But also, something else was going down at the time in and around this scene. And that's the uniting of politics, of political labor, and across cultural lines, and building a massive campaign to march to Washington and protest for, according to the Constitution, a redress of grievances. The other presentation we did this week was on revolution. Now, of course, this is Revolutionary Life. That's our show. That's the name of our show, Revolutionary Life. But I did this presentation on revolution itself, the act of taking power. I'm going to give you a little music. When I come back, we're going to delve into revolution and what it means.
Shall we begin?
This is not a drill. Is that all you got?
And we're back. You're listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Blog Talk Radio. Revolutionary Life is a radio show aimed at looking at every aspect of our lives through a revolutionary lens. And what did I say about revolution? Revolution ain't nothing but change. One thing that's inevitable, that's constant in this universe, it seems. The revolutionary just wants to be on the vanguard of change as it comes. Maybe even to usher in that change. But like a surfer might do when a wave comes if he's timed that wave, if he has his finger on that wave's pulse and his rhythm, then he can ride that wave and have it move him forward. Those who do not get hit by the wave and taken under. Welcome to Revolutionary Life. Tonight is Friday night. And on Friday night, we do our wrap-up of the presentations that we've done throughout the week. Our main two today we were talking about was the death of Bobby Kennedy. And I wanted everyone to see, make sure that they understood the many other things that were going on at that time. One most important one, one most revolutionary one, was the Second Poor People's Campaign. That didn't happen because most of the people involved, powerful people involved, were killed, assassinated. Welcome to America. The other presentation that we did this week that I thought was very important to talk about was the concept, the idea, an act of revolution. Revolution of political or social revolution, as a matter of fact, which involved taking political power in a nation, in a city, in a district, in a town. And I told you, every election is a revolution. Every election is a bid for power. Every political party exists to foment revolution. Every political party wants its people and its party in power. For the most part, you don't form a political party unless you're in pursuit of political power. If someone else already holds that power, then you're trying to take power. You're attempting to overthrow those currently in power and replace them with your people in the seat of power. Every political party aspirations is to be the party in power, I would suppose. Every election is an attempt to take power, to transfer that power from one party or people to another. So revolution happens around any election. Every election is a bid for power. I told you in that present. Now, if you go back and listen to that episode on revolution, you will see that I was trying to understand. I was trying to explain that revolution does not have to be force and violence, right? There's a law against overthrowing the government by force and violence. But there's no law. There is no law. In fact, there is a constitutional mandate. That provisions the taking of power by the people. There's no law against overthrowing the government. There's no law against taking power. The only law I ever heard is an attempt to overthrow the government by, and I'm quoting, guys, because you will always hear these words, by force and violence. And if I say it enough, maybe I'll just say overthrow the government and you think force and violence. Maybe that's what somebody wants you to think. I don't know. But if they indict you, they're going to add them three words back to that statement. Oh, he was trying to overthrow the government by force and violence. There is no law against overthrowing the government. In fact, in that last presentation, I read for you, to you, from the 10-point program and platform of the Black Panther Party, the 10th point I read to you. And I read to you, well, before I read it to you, I explained to you that the 10th point in the Black Panther Party's 10-point program and platform was the Declaration of Independence. Every word of it printed out. And in that Declaration of Independence, it clearly says, it clearly laid out that provision for revolution. It would be disingenuous of a nation not to have put that in their constitution, because that's how this government came to be. This nation exists because something called the American Revolution, when the American revolted against Great Britain. King George. This was a colony of England. They was just raping this America the way they did colonies all over the world. Sun never set on the British Empire. That means that everywhere the sun rose, the British owned some of. They have taken, colonized some land. They had done the same thing with the United States, or what's now the United States, the Americas. And this country was simply a colony of England until the American Revolution fought to be a separate country, a full country, and not the colony of Great Britain. So how can you be founded on revolution and then leave it out of your founding documentations, the possibility of ever having another? If necessary, you wouldn't. Doesn't make sense. So, as we read, and another presentation, guys, I literally stopped to read it. But I tell you what, the most important points is it begins by saying, by pointing out that as human beings, we are endowed with certain inalienable rights, and that among them, though there are many, among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Now, I stopped when I did this presentation in the full episode. I stopped right there because I wanted you to hear something. I want you to hear what that one sentence says about your rights and about the government and the government's reason for being. The Declaration of Independence says, the founding documents of this country says, that you're born with certain inalienable rights, and among them with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And he says to secure those rights, governments are instituted. That's a government's reason for being. I hope you understand what I'm saying to you. That the founding documents identifies the government's role as to secure for you your inalienable, God-given rights. and not have them taken by anyone. If this is the premise on which governments are instituted among men and women to secure your inalienable rights, then you have to ask yourself, have my government done that job or not for you? Have your government seen to it that you're not deprived of any of your inalienable rights, among them life, the cost of living, liberty, your freedom, and your pursuit of happiness, the actual pursuit in your life of your goals and your ideals? Are those things been secured for you by this government? Can you say that your government has guaranteed for you, has done its job, the reason it is instituted is to secure those rights for you? Can you say those rights have not been violated and that they have been secured? This is the premise for which you would overthrow a government, according to the founding documents of this country, when it's not doing its job. And what is its job? There's one sentence that tells you what its job is. You have certain inalienable rights, among them a life, living, and pursuit of happiness, and you institute governments to secure those rights. That's their job. Declaration of Independence, this is why governments, as though it's the sole reason governments are created among men. Is it doing its job, I ask you? Do you feel as though your government has secured for you those rights? Hang on a minute. Guys, I'm back. So, if you are not sure, that's one thing, as to whether your government has secured those rights for you. If you don't know, that's another thing. That's something else. But if you believe it has not, the Declaration of Independence, the founding documents of this country, goes on to say that when you come to the point where you believe that your government has become despotic and tyrannous towards those rights that it's supposed to be protecting, it has a simple solution for that. It says it is your right. And in fact, it charges you. The Constitution of the United States charges you as a citizen because it says it is your duty. That's your job. That's what you should be doing. In fact, it is your right, it is your duty to overthrow that government and replace it with new guards for your inalienable rights. So I ask you, if governments are instituted among men to protect your inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, your goals, but if it hasn't, the Constitution provides you a remedy. So I want you to understand that that all revolutions, or the concept of revolution in and of itself, the concept of overthrowing the government in and of itself, happens every an attempt happens every election. Right? You want them out, you want your people in. Whether you do it by force and violence is a whole nother story. Constitution doesn't say you should or shouldn't, one way or another. How you should do it. Constitution says your right and your duty to do it. It charges you. And it says, the Constitution, and the people who wrote it seem to have an idea who they was dealing with. Because it says right there that sometimes we have the tendency to endure suffering for a long time before we act. But it says, wait a minute. When things really get despotic, when your inalienable rights are no longer being protected, in fact, just the opposite, they're being destroyed, then it is your right, man. It is your duty, according to the law, for you to overthrow that government and replace it, quote unquote, with new guards of your rights. Because guarding your rights is why governments were created among men, according to the Declaration of Independence. We were built on revolution, this nation, and it's no wonder the Founding Fathers thought to put the capability to have to, if we might have to one day do this again. I wanted you to know or have an understanding, if you didn't, of the concept of revolution and not some knee-jerk reaction to it. Revolution is as American as the Constitution of the United States and the Declaration of Independence, the founding documents of this nation. And that hasn't been stretched out. It's still there. And so it charges you. It knows that you will sit back and suffer. It says that. A long chain of abuses before you act. But at some point, you have to act. It's what it says. You have to overturn that government and replace it with new guards to secure those inalienable rights. Because securing those inalienable rights is why governments are created among men, according to the Declaration of Independence. Those were the two main presentations that we did this week. There's much, much more to each one, of course. And I encourage you to go back, take your time, go back and check out the ones on revolution and on Bobby Kennedy and the death of Bobby Kennedy, it's called. And you'll get the full skinny on both of these presentations. Tonight is wrap-up night. This is Friday night. This is when we wrap up. This is when we preview and review the days or the week's episodes. The two main ones we picked out today was the death of Bobby Kennedy and the concept of revolution. And I hope you grasp that. Because the call for revolution is not always a call to arms, military style. It may be called to arms in a different way. But you will be able to completely within your rights if you have established that your inalienable rights are not being guarded securely. Think about it. And so I'm going to open up my lines now, just in case anybody has any questions or comments on the review we did today of this week's presentations. And this part, I always leave a part of my show for call-ins. And so I also have a chat room. And so if you pop into my chat, you can also leave questions or comments in my chat, and I will answer them in my chat. Or I'll answer them online if you'd like, on the air if you like. All right, guys. Now, this part of the show, I call it Your Time to Shine. You see that phone number, area code 714-816-4765. That's 714-816-4765. And this time is your time to shine. All right. You're listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, we're here every weekday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. You never know what the topic might be. So if you see a little follow button up in the upper right-hand corner of your screen, if you're looking at it online, click that follow button and you might get a heads up on what the next show will be. Right? Day being Friday, I'll have to see you guys on Monday, but I will definitely be here. If it's 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, we're going to have some revolutionary life to talk about. Because we talk about every aspect of life. And so tonight, we did our quick wrap-up of the death of Robert F. Kennedy, and we did a wrap-up of the concept of revolution. And I want you to get familiar with that concept because you have a duty to revolt. It's in your constitution. In case you didn't know it, in case you've been sitting on that, in case you've been sleeping on it, you have a duty that's laid out in the constitution as a citizen of this country. You have a constitutional duty to revolt. To revolt. You have a constitutional duty to replace those in power. To overturn their government and put and assign new guards of your inalienable rights. You're charged with that by the U.S. Constitution and its Declaration of Independence. So don't be scared of revolution. It's your constitutional right. My lines are open. My phone number is area code 714 714-816-4765. 714-816-4765. My chat room is open. So if you had a question, you had a comment, you just check into my chat, and you can leave a question or comment in my chat, and I will answer it then. All right? This is your time to shine. Go. All right. I'd like to thank everyone for listening in. I'd like to thank everyone for listening in tonight to Revolutionary Life. I'm your host, Gary. And like I say, we're here every weekday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. That means that I'll be back here Monday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. You never know what the subject might be, guys, so make sure you're following. And right, and make sure you make some time between 10 and midnight. It's a good way to end your night. I want to thank everyone for listening in again. And also, I'd like to remind everyone that I'm a teacher. I guess you understand that. I could pick that up by now. I'm an instructor, and I teach Spanish, and I also teach computer IT. Right, I teach those classes down at the Java Complex on 1423 Elvis Presley Boulevard, right here in Memphis, Tennessee. All right, I'm working with Java right now. They got it's a wonderful place, but they got a lot of work to do on the place, and we're doing fundraisers, and I'm down there teaching. I'm teaching classes. They're $10 a class, Spanish. For the English speaker, I call it, and computer and IT, where we make you familiar with your equipment and what it can and can't do, and train you how to get the best out of it. All right? So if you're in Memphis, Tennessee, on the weekends between Saturday and Sunday, come on down to the Java Complex at 1423 Elvis Presley Boulevard and help us out down there. While you're down there, if you're still paying a dollar for a bottle of water, bring a jug. I'll give you a gallon for that dollar. Not only is it clean, you can at Java Complex, you can get a gallon of alkaline water. Not only is it clean, it's alkaline. Check that out. While you're down there, check out that black seed oil. They not only got the black seed oil, they got the seeds that the oil is made from. African says stronger. However, come on down, check us out, help us out. We're down at the Java Complex. I'm down there teaching classes on the weekends, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, same time, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you step in there during that time, you're going to see me teaching a class. All right, guys. Thank everyone for listening in tonight. And I'll be back here Monday. And I want you to stay in the moment, stay in the now, what I call stay in the real. Get out of your head, get out of your mind, get out of your thoughts. Folks been trying to tell you what to think since you were a kid. It ain't all it's cracked up to be. Be distracted by your senses. Be distracted by your senses, not your thoughts. And you'll be here in the now. That's the only way to do what I ask you to do every night. I ask you to practice being fearless and having no doubts. I want you living a life that you don't have to worry about what other people's intentions are towards you. To live that life, to be fearless, you have to be here. In the now, in the present, in the real, not up in your head somewhere, living off what you think is going on. You guys got to listen to my episodes on that. You see what I'm saying? I wish everyone have a great night, and I'll see you Monday night. You'll hear me Monday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time right here on Blog Talk Radio with Revolutionary Life. Where we view every aspect of life through a revolutionary lens. Good night.